Welcome to the Single Parent Podcast. Whether you've been a single parent for a while now or have just started on your journey,
the Single Parent Podcast is a safe place for single parents to get some great information and resources, hear the stories of fellow single parents, and connect with a strong and supportive community.
We want to help you go from surviving to thriving.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Single Parent Podcast. We are so happy you're here with us today. Christina is going to introduce our wonderful guest. So Christina, please go ahead.
So today on the podcast, we have Matt McLean from PMA Coaching. And Matt and I connected through a networking group. We're both entrepreneurs. And I connected with Matt afterwards and realized he would be an excellent resource for this podcast. So Matt, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Yeah, you got it. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today. Networking is important, right? This is how we find people. So my name is Matt McLean. PMA Coaching is my company name, and PMA stands for Positive Mental Attitude.
And I love it. So good.
I think the term is understated a lot, and people just go, I get it. I understand. I need to have a good attitude to get ahead in life. And or to do something different or better. So what we do as a coaching company is we help people really clarify what it is that they want in life, or we help them get pointed in a direction that they wanted to go that maybe they didn't know how to get there. Typically it happens after something drastic, like a really emotional life-changing event. So whether it be a separation in life or a death in the family or a loss of a job, or maybe I'm selling a business, maybe I'm buying a business. Like when all this craziness is happening in life, sometimes we need somebody beside us to say, hey, you're on the right track, right? Like, hey, keep going. And that's what we provide. So we had a really hard time really, I guess, trying to tell people what we did. So when you think of PMA coaching, I really want you to think of life you don't need a vacation from, right? And I think that is the best way to sum up how we can help people. We help people get out of their businesses and walk on top of them. We help people improve their relationships with themselves, most importantly, but with other people, with their children, with the other parent. So we really kind of dive in on the mindset side of things to help people get refocused and redirected and give them somebody to kind of have a sounding wall and a support system to move forward in life.
That's amazing. I was thinking as you were talking, you said, you know, there's usually some sort of life-changing event. Trauma or grief goes hand in hand with that. So what made you want to start this then? Was there a huge life-altering life event that made you say, this is what I need to be doing to help people?
Ooh, good question.
I love this question. I'm not sure how long we have today, but I will give you the cold snow first.
Our first four-hour episode.
Right. So I kind of chuckle about it because I became a product of the product. I grew up in a household where there was divorce, there was abuse, there was alcoholism, drug use, all of these things that I got to experience at a very young age that I didn't quite understand. So when I got out into my adult life, so AKA when I moved away from home to get out of the mess because I didn't understand it, I got to a spot in life where I recognized that I was not prepared for what I wanted. So I started to seek the things. I didn't know what it was, but I fell into a tool system that was based on positive thinking and personal development. And I fell in love with the books that I was reading and the systems that I found because I started to recognize that I was no longer a victim. I was actually changing the way that I felt and the way that I thought to change the things outside of me that were happening in my world. So I kind of, you know, went from being a victim and not really understanding life all that well to being in charge of the way that I think to create the results that I want. So what happened is I just kept studying and I stumbled upon the movie called The Secret, right? I don't know if you've heard of it or seen it.
No, who's in that one? Okay, I don't think I've heard of it.
Rhonda Byrne was the author of the movie The Secret. And it's so funny because it came out in 2006. Since there's been over 100 million copies sold. It's been a very, very popular movie that really got people thinking about positive mindset, right? And what I think about, I bring about. But they've really lost something inside of it because, you know, people would watch this movie and get so inspired to do something, you know, different. They're listening to people like Lisa Nichols and John Ashcraft and Bob Proctor and all these like super, super awesome people, right? But you still don't know how to apply it. Like, it's great somebody saying, hey, live your life like this and do it, do that. So I want it more. So I started searching out the authors of the movie and I stumbled upon my mentor, Bob Proctor. And I started doing a Bob Proctor coaching course. And that course literally changed the outcome of my life. Like it was like the fork in the road, right? Like I'm either going to be here and crash and burn in life because I'm going to follow what I already know, or I'm going to learn something new to have something more. And so I fell in love with what Bob was saying. And he became part of my life. And several years after being coached by Bob, I get a phone call saying, hey, it's Bob Proctor. I hear you're getting some results with my programs, because in fact, I was, right? I was a believer. And I said, yeah, I am. And he says, how would you like to work with me? And I was like, yes, my mentor's on the phone right now. Like, how did this happen?
It's amazing.
So, that was probably like, yeah. A bit of a fanboy moment with that.
Yeah, that's how it felt. You know, looking back now, you've recognized that you could spend money and really spend time with anybody you want. But he was like the person that had helped me. He was my father figure. He was my business mentor. He was the person that really helped me create some success in my life that I had never experienced before. Now, when I talk about success, I'm not talking just about money, right? I grew up in a home that was broken. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what it meant. Particularly, I didn't know how to love myself, right? And I'm still learning how to do that. And it's the drum that I'm beating over the last couple of years, because self-love is so important. The relationship with ourselves needs to come before any other relationship we have in our lives. Because if we can get that one figured out, we can figure out the rest of them, right? If we can learn how to be our best own advocate, and we can wake up in the morning and hug and kiss ourselves and really feel good about the person that we are, because we're becoming better every day, we can actually let that love flow to and through us. So our children feel it, the people around us feel it, right? And we feel it more, we have it to give. So this was, you know, a big thing for me, just, you know, figuring out that, hey, I am worth something, right? Like my being here is worth something. And so it was so powerful. And then it dawned on me. I felt so guilty for feeling so good when I felt so bad. Why was that? And I was like,
That G word comes up a lot in our podcast, you know, about that feeling of guilt for wanting to put yourself first or to love yourself first. And it's Christina coined that, the G word is guilt.
You know, and it's like,
I didn't coin it. But I'm just going to say I've done a lot of self-help and that word is in a lot of books.
Right. You know, and honestly, it's the two worst emotions to have is resentment and guilt. They destroy everything, the relationship with yourself, with the people around you and these things. So I was like in this spot where I was like, I've got to tell people about what I'm learning, because I don't want anybody to go through life the way that I felt. Now knowing that it's a simple mind shift change that can change everything, right? I no longer wanted to not be on this earth. I no longer was searching for what I was looking for. It was inside of me and I just had to bring it to the surface, right? So it was like, oh my gosh, so how do I do that? Well, when Bob called me, he invited me to Toronto and I flew down there. I spent a week in a program called The Matrix. And after that week, I decided to become certified as a Proctor Gallagher consultant. So essentially what that's saying is I've gone through every one of the programs multiple times. I've studied them. I understand them. I've applied them, because here's the thing. It's just like, you know, behind me, I have all kinds of books on my bookcase, right? Mm-hmm. They were written by very successful, highly recommended people who are winners. They're movers, they're shakers, they're forward moving thinking people. I've read the books over and over and over again. I took the information, I had it, but I was still frustrated because mm-hmm. I didn't see the results in my life. And I know so many people feel the same way. So it's shelf help and it's cheap. And that's exactly what you get. And it wasn't until I found my mentor, right? Somebody I could relate to, somebody that held me accountable to myself, somebody that was there to encourage me and show me that I could do and have and be whatever I want to be, that things started changing, because it was the knowledge and the application of the knowledge that made the difference, right?
And there can be such a disconnect, like just going back to what you were saying at the beginning about having the knowledge and actually implementing it and there being a disconnect, right? Is how to bring those two together. Because I know for myself in the last few years since my split happened, I've gone through a lot of transformation and knowledge in that. And just recently I had something that kind of knocked me on my butt a bit. And now I'm questioning, did I really learn anything at all? Because I feel like I'm right back to where I was before, right? I mean, it's subsiding a bit, but you do question it. You're like, am I really learning anything? I don't know, because I feel the same feelings as before. So does that count as a disconnect, or how do you kind of explain those, like having the knowledge and putting into place and that piece in between?
I feel it creates a lot of frustration. Right? Having the knowledge but not applying it can create more problems than not knowing it at all.
Oh, it's hella frustrating.
And like, that's where somebody like me comes in that says, hey, you know, I know you know. Now it's time to apply. And it's getting people to believe that they can apply it and move forward into their lives. And not even believe, but just enough excitement to take some action. Right? The start is what stops most people from doing anything different in life. So, you know, for the people listening, one of the biggest things you can do is become very good at making decisions, right? Mm-hmm. When we become good at making decisions, we solve a lot of problems, because when we think about it in life, we sit there in these decisions inside of a relationship, job, whatever it may be. And we say, do I quit it or do I stay in it? Right? Do I leave it or do I stay in it? And that indecision causes so much like frustration and like internal, like we beat ourselves up and we just continue this crazy cycle until we get so uncomfortable. Then we go to make a change. And sometimes we do it the wrong way. Right? We do it the wrong way and it causes more problems and we get sucked back into our cycle. And what happens to our children? They see this, right? So they see this is happening. They, you know, all they see is, you know, mom and dad or spouses are not happy. There's something going on. And then they start to take the blame for it. And they start hiding in their bedrooms and they start, you know, acting out different ways and not understanding how to deal with these emotions that they're having. And they don't even understand what is happening. And then everybody's a mess, right? Because everybody's thinking about, how do I feel better? We're not thinking about the things that are happening around us. And, you know, it can be very, very devastating. That's, you know, happening inside of a household when we don't know how to make decisions, right?
So, it can be paralyzing. It can be absolutely paralyzing. I mean, Christine, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you feel that way, but I know for myself, fear has been the biggest thing holding me back, right? Like that's the fear of not just what could go wrong, but almost a fear of, well, what if it goes right? Like, then what? Like, right? That's almost, I've actually discovered for me, that's kind of a bigger fear, which sounds weird because you'd think that something going wrong would be a bigger fear for you, but it's mm-hmm. almost like, but what if it works out? Ah!
We are so programmed to think negatively mm-hmm. in the first like 2 seconds of seeing something. We think you know, like you said, well, it's easier not to do it, right? And then to go, hey, I'm making a decision to go forward, and what if it works, right? And we get scared of change and all of the things that happen along with it. When we know what we need to do, we feel it in our hearts, right? We feel it. We know that we need to make this decision. We need to move forward. It's better for everybody. And we have this thing that I call the terror barrier that we either bounce off of and we go back into what we call bondage. And that is the same results over and over and over again, right? Or
insanity. I think that's another word for it. The same thing over and over, expecting a different result, I think is insanity, is it not?
Yes, 100%. You know, and we find ourselves there all the time. And we go, I knew this was going to happen, right? I knew this was going to happen. And we just reconfirm it to ourselves. Right. And we just reconfirm that we stay stuck and stay stuck until something happens. The universe shakes you to move you, right? So it's a large emotional impact. It's like, you know, somebody says, nope, I had enough, I'm leaving. And it's like, you know, it's like the rug pull. Oh my gosh, what just happened, right? You know,
which is very common in single parent households, is, you know, the rug gets pulled under us many times in that, you know, that we're single parents. It's like, oh, we're going to break up and you're going to be on your own and la, 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 la. So something that I'm thinking about is consistency for single parents, I think, is one of the hardest things. So as a coach, is there a lot of holding people accountable and staying on track? Because for me, at least, I know I'll be like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm like so ready for this change. But then I'm like, oh, and then I just like fall off the wagon a little bit and I don't stay like on the line to the finish line, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, as you know, being a single parent, I think that consistency could be difficult sometimes, right? Because all of a sudden, you know, you're used to getting up at 6:30 or 6 a.m. The kids are up at 6. You're sending them off at school at 7:15. Then you have between 7:15 and 8 to do your thing. You know, and on the coaching side, I would be, you know, telling you to create some space for yourself to do some things in the morning or in the evening to kind of give back to yourself some self-love and some self-talk and to get yourself into a good, you know, state of mind. So really what it comes down to is I know that sometimes it can be life is weird, right? And sometimes it's difficult to be consistent. And sometimes we get consistent and then something throws us off, right? We throw something in, we take more things on, and then we try to change too many things at once. And then everything stops because we've tried to do too many things. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I would say, you know, to the both of you, if you told me like, hey, I, you know, I'm having a hard time creating this persistence or consistency in my life, I would say you have to create some boundaries within yourself saying that, hey, I deserve this time. And it may mean getting up at 5:30 instead of 6 to have that half an hour to give back to yourself. So whether that's a gratitude list, to really, you know, again, it comes back to the self-love, right? And if we love ourselves, we don't need anyone else. So a breakup doesn't matter, right? A relationship is meant to enhance our lives. It's not supposed to control our lives, right? Like if somebody leaves our lives, okay, you outgrew me. That's fine. I love myself. You know, you enhanced my life. I enjoyed you here, but it's okay that you left because you've left a space that something better can come into now. And we forget sometimes we don't want to give something up because we're scared to sacrifice, right? And sometimes we think sacrifice is a bad word. In fact, it's a really good word because if you sacrifice something of a lower nature, you're opening up the door to bring in something of a higher nature.
I love that you reframed that word and took the negative connotation out of it and turned it into something positive. Right. Because that's huge, yeah.
Well, think about this. When we make a decision to make a change in life, we have to sacrifice something we're currently doing now. So what is it? You know, maybe I golf 3 times a week, which I don't. I'm a horrible golfer, so don't ask me to golf. Your time with me. If you really like golf. But maybe for 6 months, I need to give up that golf, right? Maybe I need to give up my favorite TV show for the next 6 months. Maybe I need to give up a friend group that I had been, you know, so I can invite that, what I want, the higher good into my life and allow it to come in. And again, it just goes down to when we love ourselves and we really understand who we are and what we're capable of doing, there's no way you'll never love yourself. Everything else just improves life, right? It just, it enhances it. And now we're not dependent on someone else to make us happy, right? Someone else to make us feel secure. It's just like, if you feel secure in your job, oh man, you know, if you lost your job, you're going to be devastated, right? You know, and it's like creating that security inside of yourself, because that's what we're looking for as people, are we not? We want to be loved. We want to feel important. We want to be heard.
Right.
We want to be special. And some of us may say, no, I don't need any of that. But really, I think we're lying to ourselves, because I think we're all a lot alike, right? We have different personalities, but at the end of the day, we have a heart, right? We want to feel it. And maybe we've never had the opportunity to experience it or understand what that actually is, right?
It's actually interesting that you say that, because my marriage, like I'm thinking back to my marriage was extremely codependent, extremely. Like I started dating him when I was 19 and I never dated anybody else, none of that. And so going into the marriage, we developed this codependency. And now, like, hearing all about this self-love and, you know, you need to find the strength within yourself and all that, it's been a very steep learning curve for me the last few years. I mean, Christina's seen me struggle with it, and we talk outside the podcast mm-hmm. as well about some of this. And I mean, you know, especially the last couple of years, she's seen me struggle quite a bit with a few things of that. And that concept of, you know, finding the strength within yourself first. And not to say that, for example, like losing your job, that you're not supposed to feel, you know, a little bit, you know, upset or angry or whatever it is. But I think what you're referring to is that it doesn't level you and it's not connected to your own self-worth. Do I have that right?
Yeah, 100%, right? Because sometimes when we lose somebody out of our lives, we lose ourselves, right? Because you said it, we base our self-worth on what that person that we, you know, truly, truly love, you know, felt about us, right? So we feel safe, secure, and then all of a sudden that person is gone. They take that safety, security with them. They don't look back. They don't turn back. And you're left with what? An empty shell and heartbreak at this point in time. You know, and think about this. We've just been taught, because 20 years ago, we couldn't really talk about mental illness. We couldn't talk as much about self. It was weird, right? There wasn't people, you know, with gratitude journals all over the place and, you know, hearts and emojis and all these things to say, like, we need to love ourselves. But when we look at our children's best interests, do you think it's smart to show them that we need to love somebody more than we love someone else? And they get to see that person hurt us and walk away. And now they think that that's how they need to perform as a adult to have love, right? They don't know it, but it's deep-seated programmed in their subconscious mind, because, you know, right up until the ages of 4 or 5 years old, they're not filtering anything. It's just being dumped in by media, social media, the people they're around. So they see it and they think that's what it's supposed to be, right? You know, and I'm going to grow up and be like mom or dad, or not be like mom and dad. And this is how my relationship's supposed to be. But it would be so important that if we taught our children and we were taught, and we have to unlearn what we knew already and relearn something new and then apply it and show it to our children that, hey, you should love yourself before you love anybody else. Because at the end of the day, if that person is gone, you're going to be devastated, right? Like, to create that safety and security in them, to me, is more important than showing them, you know, I gave all my love to this person. So, and, you know, I say this like really confidently and like, woo, yeah, like I know everything. But I will be 100% honest. Like, this is something I've been learning more and more and more over the last couple of years. And, you know, I've gone through my life as an abused child, and, you know, and my mind was different. I knew that. Right. Like, and I was just, so it was the last couple of years have really even helped me, you know, create this thing that I've been searching for. And I've recognized it. It's inside of me. And it's no results. I don't have to look for any results. I need to actually do the work. And it's not fun work.
Nope. Right? It's not fun.
You both.
Well, I'm gonna cut in with a slight tongue in cheek. You'd be like, it's fun with a capital F U is what it is. Right? Like it. I've heard that, and it's one of my favorites that I like to pull out. I can't pull it out with my kids just yet, but with my friends I do, because you're right. Like it's yay, quote unquote, fun.
Right. You know. And it's so interesting when we go through these things, the self-discovery that we have to go through. And if we're lucky enough, we find the pieces of us that we thought were gone. If we're lucky enough, we find those pieces and we start to pull it back together. And this is what I've realized in the last couple of years. Life doesn't get easier. We get stronger, right?
We're able, I like that,
to take more things on. So everything that we go through right now is to prepare us to live a more enjoyable life in the future. So now I can look back at the things that have hurt me in the past, or the things that I used to use as an excuse not to do something, or to say I couldn't do this, I'm not good enough. And, you know, I look at those and I use them as learning lessons on, you know what, there's a different way to look at this right now. And whenever something negative comes into my life, I start with saying, that's good. And then I find the good in it, right? Because there's always good with it. And I know that because the one thing that I do really trust in is universal laws. They don't change. It's like the law of gravity. It works for me the exact same way as it works for you. I'm either working with it or against it. So I look at the law of relativity. And with a positive, there's a negative. And with a negative, there's a positive. In, there's an out, up, a down, a hot, a cold, right? So if something is so, so bad in my life, on the other side of it, it is so, so good. I need to find it. What is it, right? What is this teaching me right now? And how do I become stronger and better, right?
It's funny that you said that when you said, what is it? Because I remember years ago, I was like, what is it that I need to get to love myself or to have self-worth? And it took so much repairing. And I still don't know if I have a clear answer as to like what it was that I needed to do. I just knew that there was a process and it started with me and taking time for myself. And something that you had said earlier about, I don't even remember now, my brain's like all over the place, but I was in a relationship last year, and when it ended, I ended it, and I was fine. Like, I was like, okay, let's move on. Like, it is what it is. And Christine was like, how are you, like, doing?
How are you, like, okay? Because we went through something at the same time, right? And I was just devastated, you know? Right. And here I am over here with my big feelings, and she's just, like, sailing on. And I was
see you later.
How?
But I think having this conversation today, it's almost like I had an epiphany. I was like, oh, I'm really getting to where I need to be. And I'm like so close to like fully loving myself. I still have that little bit of negative self-talk that I'm like, go away, stay out, get the hell out of here. But I'm like so close, and I'm like, yes, I'm getting closer. That's amazing.
You know, I think it's so cool. You know, recognize we control that voice in our head, whether we think we do or not. It's just so reactive to the outside world, right? Because we let the outside world control what's happening inside. So this is what happens. Something happens outside of us and we go, ooh, that didn't make me feel good. And then we impress it and, you know, we feel it. And so what happens is our thinking causes the way that we feel. And our feeling sets up a vibration in our body, a frequency. And our bodies are like magnets, right? So, you know, you've probably experienced this where, you know, you wake up one day and you realize you slept in 15 minutes because you hit your snooze too many times, right? Yeah, right? We both
thought. Yes, this morning.
Right? We stub our toe, we throw out a four-letter word, and we go, oh, that's how this day's going to go, right? And the whole day spirals out of control. We go to get in our car, the battery's dead or the tire's flat. We're driving down the white mud and the window's cracked a little bit and somebody splashes the slush in, hits you in the face, and you're screaming and, you know, flipping them the bird, hoping they crash and burn. That's what you're saying. Oh, crash and burn for cutting you off, right? And then you get to work and your day's off and you know, your coffee is wrong. Somebody, you know, and you just know, right? You expect it now that I stubbed my toe and I slipped in. So the whole day is, it's gone, right?
Oh my gosh. I'm laughing so hard because I can envision myself in this. Like 5 years ago, I was late this morning and I was like, fuck. That was my first thing, but I wasn't really mad. I was like, well, what are you gonna do? I was like, it's already past the time. So I told the kids, I'm like, we're late. Do you want to eat breakfast or like, should we go through the drive thru? Like, we're already late.
It's so easy to allow the first thing of our day to like throw us off.
Right.
And then we follow that. Right. And because we go, oh, that's how it's going to be. Versus going, hey, I slept in. Oh, geez, I must have needed some extra sleep and get an extra big stretch and get out of bed and stub your toe and go, wow, at least I have a toe. Some people don't have toes. Jump in the shower, maybe have cold water. Well, at least the water's running. Shampoo's in my eye. That's okay. I got a towel. I jump in my car, tire's flat. Oh, do you know what? Maybe there's an accident on the Hyundai. So I needed to, you know, call a tow truck. Here's my tire. Arrived to work a little bit late. Maybe you missed the unruly customer that just walked into your store that you would have had to deal with, right? You know, and so you start to think about things differently. And it's all about us making a decision on, are we going to allow outside forces and circumstances affect the way that we think and feel, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to say because outside is real, right? When we see it, we believe it, right? But
or even when you're not in it, right? When you're not in that actual situation, it is very easy to say, well, okay, I can let stuff go. And then you're in the situation, like Christina said, you're like, well, just fuck. You know, and then like, because I run into that, I can, you know, walk my kids through something. But the minute that I get into something, I mean, it's not always, but sometimes, you know, like you said, you know, things going wrong in the morning, I think I would have been okay up until like the third thing going wrong. And then at that point, then I'd probably start getting a little frustrated and be like, okay, what is happening today? That is like my universe is off. I actually had that happen yesterday. Yesterday was a really tough day emotionally and mentally for me. And I actually recognized at the end of the day, because I've been trying to change my eating habits and that. And I thought, you know what? It's been a rough day. I am going to consciously eat some chips and I'm going to pile pillows around myself. And I actually recognized right now, I feel the need to protect myself, whether that's like eating carbs and, you know, like getting pillows or whatever it is. I recognized it and I made the conscious decision to do it. It wasn't just mindless and a gut reaction to do it. And that was different. That was different for me. So it sounds like from what you're saying, it's not that you're never going to react to situations or that you're never going to get frustrated or angry, but how you choose to handle it and the conscious decisions you make sounds like that counts for more than just a launch reaction.
100%. So really what we're demonstrating here is we either react, which is an animalistic state, right? We react to the things that are happening around us or we respond. When we react, the outside is in control. When we respond, we're in control. So we can make a change and we can make a big difference in our life by responding to the things that are happening around us versus allowing it to make us react to it. Right. And just by making those conscious decisions, right, saying this is what I need right now. This is, you know, maybe that was your self-love last night. Get those pillows around you. So you feel nice and comfy. Eat some chip and, you know, relax. Watch some nasty TV that probably shouldn't be on TV.
I watched some hot Vikings. I watched Vikings. I'm like, I need some hot Danes in my life right now.
You do these things. Now, the caution here is make sure you don't beat yourself up for doing that, right?
Yes.
Because that's what happens sometimes is we cross our boundaries when we say we're going to do something and like maybe calling that person or, you know, eating that food or not going to do what I said I was going to do. We cross those boundaries and then mentally we go, I didn't do it. And we start beating ourselves up. And inside we're beating ourselves up again and we feel bad and we only attract what we feel. Right. So I think you know, a big thing in my life was I had to take an inventory on how, like, as I was going through this, how am I feeling right now? So every few hours I had, you know, a bracelet on that would remind me to go, how am I feeling right now? And I could correlate how I was feeling based on how I was thinking several hours prior to that.
Right? Interesting.
So it's taking the inventory on what are you actually saying to yourself? Are you telling yourself the things that you don't want? Because you'll attract those just as quick as you'll attract what you do want, right? The proper thing to do in this situation is to think about what you want. Even when outside is telling you it's not happening, it's not here, I don't see it, the results aren't showing up in life, I'm not feeling loved yet, I don't get why Matt keeps telling me to tell myself I love myself and hug myself in the morning because I don't feel it, right? But you keep telling yourself, I want to feel this. This is what I want. I want to feel fulfilled. I want to feel happy. I want to feel loved. I want to be able to give love. I want my children to be able to sense that from me, right? I want energy to flow easily to and through me. We can focus on that versus going, you know, this happened in my life and I don't want that to happen again and this and that, right? We self-sabotage ourselves a lot because...
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Right? We hit this rhythm of life where we stay and it's up and down, right? Because there's a law of rhythm with life and with there's an up, there's a down. So the bad days... Be excited because tomorrow's going to be better, right? The sun's coming up tomorrow and today really was a bummer. And I didn't feel great. I really didn't. But the positive side of that is if I didn't know what feeling bad was, I would never know what feeling good was, right? Mm-hmm. So with every downswing, there's an upswing. We have to recognize that life runs on rhythms. Just like the moon comes up, the sun goes down, sun comes up, moon goes down, the waves come in, they come out, tide in, out. It never changes. It never will, folks. Remember that, right? Some days are going to be character building days and some days are going to make you feel lively and fulfilled. But remember, with every up, there's a down, right? So we have to learn how to skip across the waves of life, of emotion. We have to learn how to take control of that because, you know, with everything going on, like my home has teenagers in it now. Well, there's hormones flying everywhere.
Right? I understand.
It throws everything off. You know, I got a pimple the other day. I was like, what's going on? I'm like, right? Like, my kids are giving me pimples.
A stress pimple. Yeah,
it was a small
they stressed
one,
you out.
Yeah, it was a hormone pimple. It was their stress, not mine. It just rubbed off on me, right? Because we're
literally
locked together, right? So, you know, recognize that, okay, they're having a bad day and they're making everybody seem like they're having a bad day, but tomorrow's going to be better, right? They're going through something that I don't quite understand right now. And I get that because I went through it and maybe it was worse, right?
Well, and even like as adults, like I'm finding there are some things like going through my split. I'd never gone through that before either. And I find, you know, it's not just our kids going through stuff like it. That was one thing that I struggled with was showing, and I mentioned this on the podcast before about showing the emotion I was going through, you know, and it occurred to me, and I can't remember who mentioned this to me, but she said, you know, it's important for your kids to see your emotions because they need a visual and they need to know how to deal with it. And I'm seeing that in my son right now. My son is going through a lot of emotions. He's about 8 and he's going through a lot of that. And I realized I was doing a bit of a disservice by hiding that from them or feeling guilty. There's that word again, feeling guilty for showing it to them. And I realized, no, like I need to teach them how to have big feelings. And I actually had a situation on the weekend where I was really upset about something that had happened. And I was venting about it and my kids needed me. So I came downstairs and my son looked at me and he said, are you okay? And I thought, you know what? No, I'm not okay. I've got some big feelings right now and I'm not sure how to handle them. I'm having trouble handling them and I'm just feeling really sad right now. And he said, Mom, come sit on the couch with me. So I sat down with him and he cuddled in and he gave me this big hug and he said, Mom, it's okay. I had big feelings today too. And I just like, I'm tearing up talking about it because it showed me, oh my gosh, I have to show these kids how to do this, like in, you know, helping them so that they can practice it and they can see, you know, oh, okay, people are feeling this way. This is the empathetic, loving way to react instead of, oh, we'll just deal with it. You know?
I think you may have missed something there. I think what you need to realize is you've already shown him how to take care of that. And he showed that to you. Mom, come here, sit with me. You've done a really good job. Think about that.
Yay! I'm gonna start crying now.
Whatever you have done to instill in him in the past, he recognized that mom needed something at that point in time, right? And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure our children know that it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to feel these things, especially in this time of need, right? Going through these type of things. Because, you know, coming from a family that my biological dad left and I was 4 years old. Well, from the time I was four all the way up until I was 22, I felt like I wasn't worthy, right? I felt like nobody wanted me. I was depressed. I was sad. I was angry, most of all, right? I had anger. Anger was built up because I didn't get it. Why did you make me and leave me, right? Like, I don't get this. Even though I had an amazing, amazing stepdad come into the picture and adopt me and take me on, it doesn't matter, right? The things that you don't say sometimes are, you know, these things. And if you don't know how to deal with those emotions, and I wish I had the tools then. I wish my parents had the tools to help me, but maybe I don't, because maybe I wouldn't be where I am today on the search of how to heal and how to help others heal going through these types of situations. But I feel that there's no child, there's no person in the world, doesn't matter, you know, how angry you made me for something you did, that should go through that, right? And if I would have understood then, and maybe it's too young to understand, but it could have been shown, I think, that I needed to love myself and it didn't matter about anything else, right? That would have helped me. That tool would have helped me. It would have helped me a lot growing up. But again, it wouldn't have brought me to where I am today. So I'm grateful for everything I've gone through, you know, as a child and as an adult to figure that out. And, you know, I've had a lot of help and a lot of support along the way, whether I knew it or not, to help me get where I am today. So, we're still growing. Trust me, we're still growing.
It's a never-ending journey. It's right. Part of those waves.
Yeah.
And you know what? Amazing. It's actually comforting to know that even coaches go through this. Like, it's not like you've got it all figured out and all of that. And I think that may be a common misconception of people when they think of hiring a coach. It's like they think that you have it all figured out and they're trying to attain that. And it doesn't sound like that's the case.
It's not. And I think it is it's a big misunderstanding, and it happens sometimes. And in my early career, it was like people would pay you because they thought if they paid you, their problems went away. And it was just like, oh, here's some money and I'm supposed to be fixed now. Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Right? That would be nice.
I wish.
Like, if I want, you know, the summer bod, you know, to be on the beach and draw some attention, I got to go to the gym and I got to work really hard, even after I paid for the gym pass. And I think what, you know, sometimes coaches are like, I'm not there to do the work for people. I'm a guide. And, you know, I tell people I'm just an active student. I'm lucky enough to be 15 years ahead of where you're starting today, or maybe I'm not, maybe you have years ahead of me, but I'm 15 years in, I'm still learning. I learn with you. And I think that's what makes, you know, PMA coaching so valuable, compared to like a, you know, somebody saying, hey, I took this program to be a coach. We're constantly training ourselves. Yesterday, I sat online for 2.5 hours with 400 of my colleagues worldwide, right? We're in 92 different countries. That says something about the information that we teach is it works and it hasn't changed. You know, my mentor was saying the same thing in 1982 as he was in 2022, right? It didn't change. The words didn't change. It's trustable and it's universal law, right? So like, if I can say anything, it's like gravity again. It works the same way each and every time. It's understanding how to apply it into your life and work with it instead of against it. That is going to make the difference. So again, yeah, just by hiring me doesn't mean that you're going to be successful, right? You've got to put the work in, and mm-hmm. I do the work alongside you. I'm doing it all the time. So I just have more of the answers to some of the questions that you may have.
Right. How do people find you if they're looking for a coach? Like, where do they go to be like, I need to hire this guy?
You know what's so cool about that is I attract everything. I don't need a website. No, I'm joking. I do have a website.
We know you have an email address, Matt. It's got to come from somewhere.
Phone numbers and stuff like that. So the easiest way to connect with me at this point in time is through my website, PMAcoaching.ca. You can actually go in there and have a live link to my calendar. You can book a 15, 30 minute or an hour session with me. They're complimentary. And then we work from there. I would say that is the easiest way. You can find me on social media. So it's Matt McLean is my page and all the different things are out there. I don't even know how it works anymore. It just comes into my inbox and we talk.
It does the thing. It shows up. It goes bling bling, and you answer.
Yes. When I get a notification, I know somebody needs my help, and we go to work. That's what we do. So, that's the best way to get a hold of us is the website pmacoaching.ca.
Perfect. What would you have as kind of a final message for single parents, parents in general? Maybe someone who doesn't have kids but is wanting to, you know, feeling that urge to take the next step forward. What would be your message to those people?
Your job as a parent is not always glorious. So I would leave you with this. Do your work, not just your work and no more, but a little more for the lavishing sake. That little more, which is worth all the rest. And if you suffer as you must, and you doubt as you must, do your work, put your heart into it, and the sky will clear, and then out of your very doubt and suffering will be born the supreme joy of life. So when it gets hard and you don't see the results because you're doing your best, remember, years down the road, your children are going to look back and they are going to thank you for this, even though they're not thankful right now, or they don't seem to be. They will appreciate every sacrifice that you made for them. And they will see that tough love was love and hard love was hard for you too. And if you just go that extra little bit, even when you think you can't go anymore, bite your tongue that little bit more, have a little bit more patience because they don't understand, because we didn't understand, the sky will open up.
I love that.
Love it
so much. So much. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We so appreciate it. And for all of our listeners, follow Matt on social media, check out his website, subscribe to this podcast. You can leave a comment on this episode or other episodes, whatever piques your interest. We'd love to hear from you. If you have another topic you want us to talk about, let us know. We're always open to hearing from you, our listeners. And on behalf of both Christine and I, Matt, thank you again so much for coming on the podcast today. We so appreciate it. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
You can find more great episodes featuring helpful information and amazing stories by searching Single Parent Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or visit www.lifesongfilms.com and click podcast.
Thanks for joining us today.
And remember, we're all in this together.